I don't want to start quite with the Bible reading yet. I just want to say that in the Anglican Church, we can have up to four readings, and I'm sure many of you have experienced this. We have something from the Old Testament, we have a psalm, we have something from the New Testament, and then the Gospel. And hopefully it all ties in beautifully together. You go to a traditional service, that's the sort of thing you see. We're a contemporary service, and so we just have one Bible reading. We've been following along with the Old Testament reading for quite some time. And today I've chosen to speak about the Gospel, but I thought it was also important that I just said a few words about the Old Testament reading, because we have been following it for a long time. We come in the Old Testament reading to the part where God has cared for Jacob's family, taken them to Egypt where they had food. When problems arose in Egypt and they became slaves, God called Moses, took them out of Egypt, had all the plagues. Remember the video from a couple of weeks ago? We had all the plagues. Finally, Pharaoh said they could go. God parted the waters. They went through, killed all the Israelites as they tried to do the same. The people got out into the wilderness. And that's where we pick up the reading today. You could imagine poor old Moses being over 80, looking after all this close to a million people, and they start to grumble. Oh dear, how like people. When we were in Egypt, we had plenty to eat. Well, when I was reading that, I was thinking, why didn't you stay in Egypt? Didn't seem to me that you had plenty to eat and everything was rosy and lovely. But in the wilderness, of course, they didn't find a great deal to eat. So again, God, patient God, gave them meat at night in the form of birds that came into their camp, and manna in the morning, some bread-like, very soft, wafery-like thing that just fell upon the ground in the morning. God is always there, ready to help, sometimes in unexpected ways. But there's a little verse in there that says, God said to Moses, I will give them bread and meat, and I will test them. Most people reading the story don't even look at that. He gave them instructions, particularly about the manna, that each day they were to collect enough for themselves. But on the sixth day, they had to collect enough for 2 days, because he didn't want them working on the Sabbath day. Now, we know that some people didn't do that. We know some people collected twice as much on other days, and that's not what God told them to do. I might tell you that when they collected too much on the wrong day, it all went pretty horrible. Now, that's how we know that they didn't do what God asked them to do. But I think it's important to keep following that story. And if you haven't had or heard all of that story, it's a few chapters in Exodus and a few long chapters, but it's well worth reading it. It's a lovely story of God loving and protecting us. So I just didn't want it to get lost because we only had one reading today. But we do have a gospel reading today, and it's from the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 976. I'll read it in a minute. You won't have to miss it. I did hear that. See, you think I can't hear. Believe me, I can hear all sorts of problems. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and he found others still standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing there all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they said. So he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came and the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to get more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who you hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first and the first will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now it's an interesting story, isn't it? Do you think it's a true story?
No.
Okay, no, Gary doesn't think so. You think it could be? Do you think it's a made-up story, like Jesus often makes up parables? And often in those parables, things are vastly exaggerated. They're exaggerated to really drive the point home. Imagine if you were working in the vineyard and you'd worked all day through the heat of the day and done all the heavy work, and some people came in at the last minute and got the same money as you. How would you feel?
Ripped off.
What did you feel? Well, they did. That's right. There's lots of ways to look at it. The first people that came in got exactly what they'd agreed to. The last people got what they'd agreed to. But there's more to the story. I like to read a theologian called Tom Wright. He likes to put things into everyday context and lots of good gems. And he says, when we read this passage, we have to look at it just as a story, not as something that's real. But we have to spend a lot of time looking at the workers that didn't come in till the last minute. We have to think about, what were they doing all day? Were they out in the marketplace waiting all day? Were they there when the first workers were called? We don't know. Were they there at 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock and all the other times when workers were called? We only know that they said, "We're here because no one hired us." We don't know where they were. We don't know if they were indeed there and the vineyard owner came and called a whole lot of other people and left them standing. It doesn't seem like that would really be the case, but something's gone on. Were these workers who came at the last minute not considered good workers? Were they just people that you wouldn't bother employing? We don't know, do we? But it's something to think about. But Tom Wright also says there's a bit of a message here for the disciples. Now, when the Bible was written, It was put together in long books on scrolls, you've seen this sort of thing, I'm sure. And there weren't any chapters in it. That was about, came about the 13th century. Somebody said, this is too long to know where you're going, let's chop it up into little chapters. But the problem is how they chopped it up. And when you go to the verse before, you see Jesus is telling them. In the chapter before, the first will be last, the last will be first, and he's reinforcing this. It's part of the same conversation that he's had all along. So we need to think about, do we want to do something about those workers that were just left there and brought in at the last minute? How does that compare to the people in our society? If you brought it into a modern context, lots of workers turn up for the same job. The person wanting workers takes his pick, needs a few more, gets a few more in, and there's some left over. He doesn't bring them in just for the fun of it, does he? If you were a first century Jew, you would know that all of the stories about vineyards and vineyard owners referred to God. God was the owner of the vineyard. And the workers in the vineyard were the ordinary people, people like us. Some of them come in early, some of them have come in during the day, some of them come in right at the last minute. So we need to be aware that not all of Christ's workers come in at the same time. We're here now, but what about those workers that are still going to come in after us? How do we go about encouraging them to come in, helping them to come in? It seems to me at the moment that the church is just a little bit in a big island of Australia. There's an awful lot of people out there who don't believe in anything that the church has to say. They don't even want to listen. So we've got to change that. Where was Jesus, do you think, if he was the owner of the vineyard? He was there in the vineyard with the workers, but he was out in the marketplace getting people in. That's the bit that we need to be listening to at the moment. How are we going about getting people in? People that initially probably weren't thought to be desirable. A friend of mine belongs to the Salvation Army in Perth, and connected to their church is a hostel for homeless, druggies, all of those. Part of the deal is when they come into that hostel that they have to go to church. It's an interesting situation because she said many of them have never been in church. They come in with their baseball caps on back the front and all of that. But after a few weeks, it starts to make sense to them. And she said, she was telling me about one particular person, and when one of the old people died, he was so upset because that person had really been welcoming to him and nice to him. Now, you wouldn't think that about a person trying to get off drugs, but do we give them the opportunity? We have to think about what we can do for those people. We need to be with Jesus in the market.